coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Everybody, how you doing today? Look at that, we have a camera this week, all that good stuff. How about it? Oh, let me brighten that up. There we go. How's everybody doing today? Chris Jordan here, coming at you live from Austin, Texas. Just had a little hiccup with the Facebook action, but we'll get that up and going here in just a minute, folks. Welcome back. I hope everybody has been doing well. We had a fantastic time couple weeks ago over at the Falk Monster Festival. Thank you so much, Craig Woolheater, Lyle Blackburn, Daniel Allen Jones, King Gerhardt, et al. For a fantastic event. It was really great. A fantastic day full of fun, full of talking, full of fellowship. Speaking of fellowship, I want to thank my friend, my good friend and listener out there, David Paul, for my Khonshu. I can now avenge the night, as I am destined to do. Not many people out there have their own Khonshu Shakti, but I got one. David Paul made it for me for the studio here, so let's welcome Khonshu to the studio. Big Moon Knight fan, always loved that series, so I have been thoroughly loving that. Speaking of things I'm loving, let's go ahead and hop on over to the Facebook and check out some of the news of the week. News of the week brought to you by Facebook, everybody. Our Facebook group, Curious Realm, come find us. 20 years! Hot dog! Ghislaine Maxwell was actively sentenced in prison for sex trafficking, finally. 60 years old, she will spend the next 20 years. Granted, that'll probably be federal time, so really closer to about 5 or 10. But we need to make those laws have teeth, folks. Seriously, out of Fox News, drug traffickers arrested in California with 150,000 fentanyl pills released after just days in jail. 101-year-old ex-guard from Nazi camp convicted by German court as accessory to 3,500 murders. That's out of USA Today. Out of the AP News, again, the Ghislaine Maxwell sentencing. Absolutely awesome stuff from our good friend Gretchen Cornwall. Make sure to stop on by and check that out. One of the big news stories today in our community was the ABC7 story out of San Diego. Mystery lights spotted in the sky over San Diego. Some really wild video there. And of course, out of the Daily Beast, January 6th hearing moved over fears for Meadows AIDS safety. So that is just some of the news of the week brought to you by our good friends over at Facebook. Stop on by, check us out, folks. While you are online checking that out, make sure to stop on by the YouTube channel of our guest tonight. First guest for the show is Nathaniel Gillis, a demonologist. We will be talking about demon seeding through alien abduction, things like that. What is the truth behind demons in our world, as well as what the truth may be behind many cases of alien abduction and their close tie? We'll be talking about that in the first segment. In the second segment, we will be talking about the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, a new place and awesome effort started by our good friend Joshua Shapiro of Crystal Skull Explorers, trying to enhance the vibration of humanity as we shift into the next paradigm, as we get ready to shift consciousness. And with that in mind, and shifting consciousness in mind, Let's go ahead and bring on our good friend Nathaniel Gillis. How are you doing, man?
Doing very good, Christopher. It's good to be back with you, and I'm really excited to get into this research.
Well, before we do, let's take a moment and shamelessly promote, because speaking of a new paradigm, you've actively got a new show coming out soon. So tell us all about that and how that came to be.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, one of my very first shows I've ever done in my career was with Rex Baer from the Leak Project. So my first show I'd ever done was Coast to Coast, and then immediately after that, I think it was Leak Project. But, you know, so every time I would get on Rex Baer's channel, we would always have a blast, and the audience loved the content, and, you know, we just enjoyed it so much that I guess Rex Baer reached out to me, and he said, you know, he goes, I'd like for you to have your own show on my channel. And so, you know, it's been a long time coming. I've done almost, I think it's over 100 shows, just all around different people, different hosts. But, you know, so here's the deal. It's going to be called The Ghost Notes, and it's going to be on the Leak Project channel every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. And so it's not just going to be it's like sometimes it's going to be me lecturing, which is what I've been doing for the last 3 weeks on there. But, you know, I guess here coming soon, I'm also going to be able to actually interview other people. So it's not just going to be me all the time, because I don't want you guys to get sick of me, right? So I'll be able to have other guests on the show that can kind of even it out for us. But, yeah, man, I'm really excited about it, and I look forward to, you know, diving deeper into this research. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but I'm thankful for it.
Well, I am thankful for the fact that you are getting yourself, your research, everything else out there a whole lot more, my friend, because right. you have an incredible tale, like so incredible that people like Billy Carson from Forbidden Knowledge and Ancient Alien fame are having you on to present your work, because it is a really fascinating realm to consider. Right. When it comes to the possibilities of alien abduction, because it's one of those, there are so many cases of alien abduction that are individual, even though they have similarities, that it's hard to just dismiss them
as
mass hallucination or anything like that. So let's start getting into the root core of this topic and start cracking the nut of the tie between alien abduction and demons and demonology.
Correct. I think there is an intimate connection. And I, you know, whenever I talk about this subject, there's always people out there that, you know, whatever happens, no matter the amount of the research, no matter the intimate connections and parallels between the two subjects, they just don't want them to be demons, period. You know, And I think that it's a little bit more complicated than just asking the question, okay, are they demons or are they aliens? And so what I've been able to do in my research is kind of dig deep and wide and really draw out these major parallels and behavioral patterns that unite both ufology and demonology as one. So it's not either or. It's not a dichotomy. If we realize that these beings are the same beings that we used to call demons, at least, then I think what that does is it opens up the door for deeper research and also case studies, you know, throughout demonology that otherwise we would have ignored because it didn't fit into the ufological blueprint. And so, yeah, they're there. And I think that as researchers, it's almost an intellectual dishonesty to tell people that, you know, well, you know, we shouldn't look into demonology because we know for sure it's not demons. We don't know, right? Everything is still on the table. But what I've been able to do is kind of flush out a theory here that says that these beings have been here for thousands of years and that they have been doing the same things to us as a species. The only difference is that they've been putting on different masks. And so, you know, we'll have one researcher that says they're all aliens. We'll have one researcher that says they're all demons. I think that we need to sit down and have a really a good, deep intellectual discussion about it, because, again, I think it's deeper than what we would like it to be. It's not. It's also more complicated.
Yeah. No, it's very and vastly complicated, Daniel. And even the first time around, that I became aware of your work when I started reading your fictional work, The Skin That Crawls, which is a story based on this kind of stuff, and really, really interesting. It was one of those, wow, I've never really heard anybody consider this option. You know, never really heard anybody take it on or even consider it, really.
Right.
Now, granted, there have been numerous shows, there have been numerous things that talk about the tie between angels and demons and the history of them amongst mankind the world over, and their possible tie to UFOs and extraterrestrials.
That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, it's highly probable, at least, that our ancestors interpreted these beings as demons. And so what I've come along and said is, hey, listen, you know, I think that we limit ourselves to terms. And when we limit ourselves to terms, that literally, it's not just limiting ourselves to terms, it's limiting ourselves to a very specific niche of research.
Yep.
And so by expanding my research in the various literatures, you know, witch era literature, demonology, ufology, yeah, the behavioral patterns are there. You know, we can ignore it, we can throw it underneath the rug and just, you know, go on with our lives, but we are absolutely being invaded by the impossible here. And we need to step up to the plate and at least acknowledge the fact that there's a lot more going on than just lovers and light, I say.
Yeah. And you know, when you say that there is a lot more going on, that there is, and I have said more than once on this show with more than one guest, I believe in the presence of true evil. Whether you believe in God, Satan, what have you, there is a driving force of humanity out there that, and we've had the discussion between you and I on this show about is that perchance an egregore, you know, something something that has been created through the hate of mankind that just keeps going on, that is now the essence and presence of evil, you know,
right,
or is it something that was pre-existent to us, as is told by numerous civilizations, and much like we talked about with Jason McLean a few weeks ago with biblical cryptozoology, things like the Nephilim, the Seraphim, the Cherubim, which when you look at their descriptions in the Bible and Zohar and everything else, they are wild descriptions.
Right.
You know, of these beings, and even Tiamat, Leviathan, stuff like that. These were not considered mythological.
Right.
They were considered real and there. So like you're saying, is it the fact that these were demons in the guise of something, or did they manifest themselves in a way that we were familiar with? And when it comes to the modern manifestation of the alien phenomena and the phenomenon of alien abduction, is it the case that has been happening?
I think it is. And this gets back to who, what, where, when these beings are. And we are very much groping in the darkness. You know, I mean, we're limited to information that they could have very possibly weaponized against us. You know, as I was talking to a psychologist the other day, and his position is very interesting. He believes that the majority of abduction accounts are abductions that occur from people being out of their body, where these beings will peel the soul from the body, and these individuals will think their entire abduction account is going on in like the physical realm. It's not until they become physical again that they realize, oh my God, that entire event was out of body experience,
you know,
which is incredible.
And what's really, really interesting case study wise, because we regularly have Sev talk on, she was just on last week, promoting the upcoming MUFON symposium in Denver, but also talking about recent case studies and recent cases. She is one of the experiencer response team and not only her, but Kathleen Martin.
Oh yes,
from MUFON, have mm-hmm. both come on this show and literally said that the greater majority of experiencer situations right now are spiritual experiences. They are experiences
correct.
Where people have an out-of-body experience and move on to a different vibrational plane where
right.
they can then interact with these beings or interact with the craft, things like that. And after that, they have a lingering effect of this
yep.
vibration. Not only repeat visitation and repeat experience because of maintaining that vibration, but some of them even healing touch and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. So, I guess one question I would have, because of course I'm not saying that, and nor are you, that
right.
all alien abduction is this case. What you're saying is that because of the many generation experience of alien and
mm-hmm.
and encounter, that experience and trope of humanity is being hijacked by these beings and used
oh, yeah.
because it's something that many people, especially now, are inviting.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Into their
right.
life and actively going out and doing things like CE5, stuff like that, which sure, much like, you know, I think, and we can talk about this, but I think much like proper, you know, out-of-body experience, anything like that, once you've taken the steps and gotten to that point, you've got a pretty good idea of what is and what isn't. You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I think that it's kind of the same way with the CE5 experience, you know, where because of the mass of people, you're much more likely to be in a safe experience than doing it by mm-hmm. yourself. That's just me.
I agree to a certain extent. Absolutely. I just think that there is a danger in unlocking our own selves to the mercies of whatever these beings are.
Yes.
You know, I had a remote viewer I was actually working with his son, and I tell this story often because every time it just blows my mind. Like every time it's like, oh my God, it's like I just heard it. But he was meeting, this man was going into trances and meeting what he considered to be his guides. And one night he was out of his body and he was communicating with these beings. And by all accounts, I mean, this sounds just like a UFO abduction. He said that he was in a metallic room and these beings flanked him on the right and on the left. And but he also said that this is very interesting. He said that these beings did not seem to be his guides. He said either that was the case or that these beings were his guides. And they were just kind of leading him along into deception the whole time. But he said, whatever they were, he said, they changed their appearance to something inhuman. And then he said, next thing he knew, he slammed back into his body. And from the subdermal area of the skin, underneath the surface of the skin, these beings carved religious amulets into his chest.
Oh, no.
Now, guys, this is getting deep and it's getting dark, but let's go ahead and pull the trigger.
Please.
I have evidence from a Brahmin mage that he was talking about these high magicians of high magic who would carve religious amulets in Egyptian hieroglyphics. And he said that, number one, he said not only was this angel magic.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but whoever is operating in that dimension, they will use Egyptian hieroglyphics as a ritual.
Interesting.
And so what I'm looking at now is that the potential of these beings performing rites in rituals. And I think that if that's true, then I think it also gives us a better foundation for understanding why it was that Jack Parsons and Aleister Crowley both conjured these beings,
yeah,
but they did it by virtue of, guess what? High magic and rituals.
Yes.
Huge.
I was just going through and bringing up my Kabbalah Unveiled and Mystic Grimoire of Mighty Spells and Rituals.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got a few more books like that here in my here in my esoteric library of things. But mm-hmm. one of the things that I immediately thought of when you started talking about these people conversing, because don't get me wrong, when I did my dream work, I had a wizard that I would go and meet. And this was a spiritual guide that I manifested, that I gave the bounds to, and somebody that I looked for that was basically a version of me out there. I was not conjuring and trying to contact specific beings, anything like that, as opposed to Aleister Crowley. And let's start getting into that real quick, because you said that some of your more recent work, this is in our pre-show conversation, folks. You said that some of your more recent work focuses around Aleister Crowley. And he's always been a fascinating individual to me. We literally owe the entire New Age movement just about to Aleister Crowley. Oddly enough, him and the founder of Scientology. Like the two of them together ushered in the New Age movement. Really wild. And both of them have a really shady background. Both of them have backgrounds in intelligence, things like that. But the first thing I thought of was Lamb. And I'm bringing up a picture of Lamb right now, which was basically the critter that Aleister Crowley had more sessions with than anything in his practice of high magic, and was really his spiritual counselor, and a being that he trusted implicitly. So let's talk about some of these beings like Lamb. What are they? Where do they come from? Are they beings of old, like Jinn, like Solomon was given control over, or are they, much like I was positing before, egregores, where it is kind of a creation of a mass mind?
Right. Well, I think that this goes back to a man by the name of Paracelsus. And he's a philosopher, and he had created a being called the Homunculus.
Yep.
And the Homunculus, by all measures, is a small, statured man. Or it also has an indication of an embryonic creature. It's the same thing that goes with the Hebrew word golem in Jewish mythology. These are the same beings here. And the golem, you know, of course, the golem is a Hebrew word that is... It's meant to typify a being that is in an embryonic state, or it is still fulfilling its potential. And so all of these references were made by the Jewish religion and other experiencers and other mythologies, but these are all references of the same phenomenon, and that phenomenon was called the missing fetus syndrome, where these beings will literally inseminate a female. And then at 4 months, when that baby is still gestating in the womb, they'll take that baby, that fetus, as a golem, as a homunculus, right? And then they will place their consciousness into it. This is what's been going on since Genesis 6. This is what was going on with the Rephaim and the Nephilim. And so this is all centered around a self-replicating process where these beings will use, and I'm telling you, I 100% believe this, I believe that they're not just using science against us, but I believe that there's enough evidence now in my research to say that they're also using high magic against us. And so when we get into these ancient texts, like one of the texts I came across was called the Red Rite. And the Red Rite describes a high magi, a magician, who would actually, when his body was dying, he would dispossess his body and he would go form a relationship with a woman. This is going to sound like UFO abduction, 100%. And then he will inseminate her. And then when that baby is to a certain development in her womb, It will take the baby, hello, missing fetus syndrome, and then it will then place his consciousness into that fetus. That is the homunculus. That is the egregore. That is that's everything that we're talking about, but I think that's the firm foundation from which everything else that we're going to talk tonight is built on. You know what I mean? It's not just science, like especially like Crowley and Jack Parsons. It wasn't It wasn't just rituals either, right?
No.
Jack Parsons was performing rituals in order to enhance his scientific method.
Yep.
So they're both hand in glove, and I think that we need to really understand that, get that into our psyche when we're discussing these beings.
Well, I think that a lot of people confuse high magic with witchcraft.
Correct.
Number one, witchcraft, I would go as far as to say is much more of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
High magic is much more esoteric. You aren't going to find it amongst common people. You aren't going to, like, maybe one out of every 50 practitioner of Wicca might be a practitioner of high magic, or might be studying something like the Kabbalah of the Golden Dawn, things like that, which, once again, tracing right back to Crowley.
Absolutely does. You know what I mean? I mean, it's good research because it's solid.
It's fantastic research, and I tell people all the time, you know, even going through and reading the Satanic Bible, which is somewhere over here, it's the fact of it is understanding a mentality and understanding the depths to which somebody believes. And the only difference with the Church of Satan, things like that, is that you believe in yourself that much, you know, and the self is the most important thing, because the self is the most enlightened thing. So yeah, it's interesting that you have these two camps of thought, the Christian concept of not having self, and then that, you know,
right?
When at the same time, that would be much more akin to not being possessed or being able to be possessed, because you are so much more aware of self.
Correct. That's why your demonologists in antiquity believed that possession was the byproduct of emptying oneself. Phenomenal thought.
Let's get into that real quick, because I think not enough people understand the warnings, especially the biblical warnings, and when I say biblical warnings, like Old Testament warnings, where you're talking about people who understood concepts of high magic, when you're talking about people who understood Solemnic magic and the magic of Solomon and the keys of Solomon and the ability to control djinns and spirits and elementals and all these different things that, like you're saying, lead to this.
Oh yeah. And these are very powerful people.
Yeah.
I mean, extremely powerful beings.
There's two things that it specifically warns about. Number one, sorcery. Mm-hmm. Sorcery, which is some hardcores will even interpret things like having a drink or imbibing marijuana, things like that, as a form of sorcery, because you are intending to put yourself on a different level.
Right. You're trying to look into the darkness and hope the darkness doesn't look into you.
Sure.
It's dangerous, you know. And I mean, this is a big, extensive subject to get into, but people need to realize that if these beings are performing high magic, if these beings are initiating experiences into a mystery school like Jim Semivan thinks, then the conversation that we need to have is changing drastically, right? I mean, it's no longer just, okay, they're extraterrestrials. What, you know, now we have to ask the profound question of what are they then?
Yeah.
Right? Why are they using seemingly rituals and abduction accounts against us? So, and what are their capabilities? I mean, it's not an accident that these, you know, people are using ritual magic to communicate to them. It's not an accident. And so it's almost like it's a highway, like a frequency of some sort. But, you know, going back into these accounts, you know, I can't help but think about even the couple here, John Dee and Edward Kelly, who, when they were conjuring these beings, they had a ball of light that appeared in their ritual. And inside the ball of light were these, again, is what Aleister Crowley called Enochian beings that were looking at them, floating in the room, just looking at them through the ball of light. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, we can even go to the Skoll experiment when they're in the middle of their seance. A small metallic UFO appears in the room. And these small homunculi or homunculus beings, right? These fetuses that they're using. That's what I believe they're coming from, and they are. But they were in the small UFO, Christopher, floating in the room, and these beings are staring at the people that were performing the ritual.
Wow,
you know. So this is all intimately connected.
Well, and you know, I have for the longest time, warned people, especially those wanting to get into paranormal research, those wanting to get into ghost research, that kind of stuff, feel free to go out and put out a recorder all day long. Record sounds, that kind of stuff. You know, you know what you don't do? You don't go out and ask questions to Bigfoot. You shouldn't be, as the Old Testament says, and once again, people very familiar with high magic, whole priesthood of Levi dedicated to it. The whole order of Melchizedek was mystic magic. When they are warning specifically about do not converse with the dead.
Right.
Do not practice sorcery. Do not practice sorcery and converse with the dead. Speaking themselves, like just in case we were clear, don't do both of them at the same time, too. You know,
exactly right.
And it's interesting because now you have shows out there literally encouraging people who have no idea how to discern one from the other, no idea how to deal with something if they are pushed, if they are confronted. You know, are they spiritually able to deal with it? And I don't care religion or not, man. JC, a symbol, I don't care. Are you spiritually able to recognize that, deal with it, and leave? You know,
correct.
And we literally have shows out there encouraging people to, like, go cliff jumping.
You don't have to know how
to swim or know any rescue swimming. Just go cliff jumping. And it's kind of disturbing to me, you know, because, especially if you're, like, since you were on last, one of the many things that we've talked about with a lot of people, experiencers and everything, Nathaniel, is the downside of these experiences. Like you were saying earlier, you would think that in this day and age that you would have more people who are open-minded to, like, hey, yeah, so, like, some books fell off my shelf the other night, you know, that kind of stuff. No. Not necessarily. Most people are more than willing to call you crazy. That's 80% of the public willing to call you crazy to your face. So how can people start to recognize these beings? How can they start that road of discernment as we kind of move into the second half of the hour here? Let's start turning it toward what we can do to wake ourselves up, and, you know, wake ourselves up, because when you're woke up, the people around you tend to wake up, folks, and you don't have to go around proselytizing, you don't have to go around preaching it from the mountain like Nathaniel. All you got to do is walk the walk and live it.
Right.
And what can people do to start discerning the difference between these things? Start discerning the difference between entities, even in their dreams, things like that, that may be creeping in because there's a familiar trope going on and there's a window of entrance where all they need is the invite, like the vampire from Lost Boys. Like, just open the window, Johnny. Come on, just open the window. It's all gonna be okay. Like, how do people start to discern that?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is don't invite them in. Don't invite them in at all. And I think that that just goes to show you the danger that we face and the kind of disadvantage that we're in right now. I even know people that were adamant about ghost hunting, you know, avid ghost hunters. We did it every day. They go to, you know, cemeteries, houses, all that stuff. They thought it was really cool until they have a really negative experience. And now they're proponents of not even investigating. You know what I mean? Sure. Because, you know, we really do not know what we're dealing with.
Were they a casual observer or were they an inviter, though?
They were somewhat of an inviter, you know. They would go out and it wasn't like a conjuring of sorts. But
no, but it was asking questions. Is there anybody here?
Right.
You're like shooting flares in the sky, you know? It's kind of one of those things like, my kid goes to this elementary. You know?
Yeah,
like, how much information are you giving the creepo following behind you in the car in the morning?
Right, and it's not like we can control the phenomenon.
No.
It's not like we can, you know, control these beings. They do whatever they want to do to whoever they want to do it to. You know, and I think that it's dangerous to a degree. I mean, look at even Aleister Crowley. Crowley warned Jack Parsons and said, dude, even though you're a high magician, even as intelligent as you are, these beings do not know you like they know me.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times, especially people that have like dark attachments, you know, I think that a lot of these people have went out to houses that they should have never been in. Right. And they're trying to, you know, for the purposes of research, trying to contact this phenomenon. And, you know, like I said, it's not all love and light. I mean, these beings can literally steal your soul. I mean, it's haunting.
And let's start getting into that real quick, because when you're talking about stealing a soul, when you're talking about being able to take energy from people, number one, is that something that, like we're saying, requires permission? Is it something that requires belief?
I think belief to a degree.
Okay.
In my book, The Skin That Crawls, I talk about the temptation of belief.
Mm.
It's a lot like when these Ikebai case studies where, you know, the woman is asleep at night or she's just, you know, she's like taking a nap in the middle of the day, these beings will appear to a woman in the image of someone they've been with.
Mm.
And so there's a temptation of belief where, you know, subconsciously that being's asking you to believe it is who it's appearing to be.
Yeah.
Right? And so there is some form of belief that forms like a covenant with them. But in terms of them being able to peel the soul out of the body, I mean, my God, there's a case study of a girl named Judy Doherty. She was a young lady. She was driving in the middle of the day on a long dirt road. She witnesses a UFO, gets out of her car, looks at the UFO, blinks a couple times, and instantaneously now she's in it. She's in the UFO looking at her body as if it was in suspended animation. And so, I mean, I'm talking Christopher, just blink of an eye. They pulled her out of herself. And so I tell people this all the time. I think that we need to start looking at this as a potential threat. Because, you know, I mean, if these beings have the ability to pull the soul out of the body but keep the body itself alive, then it's more than just nuts and bolts. And it's darker than just, okay, you know, anything that we can imagine an ET being. So even if it's just technology, we don't really know what it is. But my God, look how powerful of a creature that is. If they can just pull you out of yourself without your permission, that is it's a terrifying hypothesis.
Well, and once again, it really speaks to that vibrational aspect that that both Seb Talk spoke to, as well as Kathleen Barden, where it's the case of because of the vibration that these people were at, they were able to feel the craft pass through the craft into the cockpit, things like that. So yeah, I mean, and not to be too much of a nerd, but just the same way that the Flash passes through objects, you know, it literally is all vibration, everything. And even to look at a desk, the desk I'm at right now, this microphone, it's just repulsion. This is 90% empty space. The rest of it is the repulsion and vibration of atoms against each other that I'm feeling. That's the feeling that I have here. So yeah, that can be analogged. That can be faked. That can be, you can utterly deceive the brain. Like, we have technologies that will do that.
Oh God, yeah, absolutely. And I think that I think it should inspire us to want to understand the phenomenon more. You know, it's like when Betty and Bob Luca were sleeping one evening, and Bob Luca heard something, and he looked up, you know, he kind of leaned up in the bed, looked at his wife as they pulled her soul out.
Wow.
And he watched as her apparition, and this gets really deep, I mean, he watched as her apparition flies out the window with these beings. And it wasn't just his experience. Betty Luca came forward and said, hey, I remember being out of my body, but present with them. And so I think that it speaks, as a researcher, I think that it speaks to them being of a spiritual nature, in the sense that it understands the soul, right? It can manipulate the soul. And this is a potential threat that I think that would eclipse anything that we've ever imagined. I mean, it's far darker than even Stephen King's imagination.
Yeah.
You know, and it's occurring. It's this stuff is real. And I think it does represent a danger to us.
I would definitely say that it represents a danger. now, granted, we just had a fantastic UAP hearing about the dangers and how we'll be getting more money for investigation, things like that. What do you make of the current movement of UFO UAP disclosure, the government's line that they are towing, and what it means for your research, and how do the two tie together?
Well, I think that what they're doing is they're telling us the truth, in the sense that they're saying, okay, we do have UFOs on camera, right? Sure. We have recorded them on our radar and on sonar. But I also think that they're employing what Bud Hopkins used to employ a lot of times. Like, Bud Hopkins would go tell people at conferences that he has UFOs that had symbols on the craft.
Yep.
And then he would give them pictures and and drawings of fake symbols. This is brilliant. And so there was some misdirection there. But what he was really trying to do was filter out the frauds. And so when he was telling the truth, when he said, okay, yeah, I do have symbols that we found on crafts. But when he was lying, he was lying in the fact that these are what the symbols were. And so when they asked him why he did that, he says, because I want to know the people who were just going to say, oh, yeah, I saw that, right? And he's like, I can easily see through the story because, hey, I just made these symbols up. It's impossible, right, for them to be the same symbols. However, he said there are more than one event. More than one case where people would show up to his house and say, hey, listen, I don't know if you have anything like these symbols, but this is what I saw the other night. And sure enough, Those were the same symbols that he had in his secret archive.
Wow.
And so what it strikes me as is I really think that that's what our government is doing. But I think it also asks a deeper question. If these UFOs that they're showing us, if they're not truly unidentified to our government, then what do they really have in their files, right? What are they calling unidentified? That's what's really interesting to me, because a lot of this stuff, it is misidentified to us. You know, we always wonder, okay, oh my God, that looks just like a UFO.
Well, we say all the time on this show, number one, we are here to demystify and untangle, not to further entangle. Like, sure, we may throw a hypothesis or two around because that's what you're supposed to do. This is an open think tank of ideas as to what's going on. However, it's strange to see what has come out. It's strange to see the dialogue happening. I guess it's not that strange to see the dialogue happening of threat. We need more money so that we can take care of the threat. We need laws to take care of people who are saying these things. And what do you think about the fact of, you know, laws even regulating folks putting out their testimony about their experiences?
Well, I think it does kind of, I don't know, man. I'll just be really blunt here, man, because it does concern me deeply. I think there is a movement in the field that they literally, they go out and they doctor the data. They do it by either changing the testimony or by silencing negative experiences or just by completely omitting negative accounts from their data. If, you know, to a degree, they're like, okay, if I don't acknowledge it, it must not be happening.
Yes.
And it is occurring. It is occurring, you know. And what's interesting about that is, you know, whenever I do these lectures and these shows, man, like I said before we actually went on air, you know, I get tons of messages from people who say, you know, like one lady specifically said that she was going to be included in a study, included in a documentary, until she got to a certain part of her experience and they told her that it was too negative. And so they declined their offer and said, you know, before we were going to have you on, but now we're not. And so I think that that's true, because if they're doctoring the data to that degree, then I think that a lot of researchers have been basing their findings on doctored data. And it's like, you know, you're building your house of research on sand. It's going to fall apart if the data isn't honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that is one of the things that we bring up all the time, whether it's cryptozoology, whether it's search into UFOs, UAPs, whether it's, you know, even the work that Caroline Corey's doing into ESP, extrasensory abilities, that kind of stuff. You've got to come at it from an open mind, because if you're coming at it from a closed mind, period. You have shut down science to begin with.
Right. You
do not have a scientific mind, because the scientific mind is the curious mind and wants to know. And much like many researchers point out, whether it be crop circles, 80 to 85% of them are fake. What about the 15 to 20 that ain't?
Right. There only has to be one.
Yeah.
Just one.
I mean, even a 5% range of what. You need to, I guarantee you, if it was a wastage of 5% of profit margin for Procter & Gamble, they'd spend 1% to find out how to stop the 5% leakage.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why is it that we, with science and everything else, are unwilling to look at that 5%? Unwilling to look at, like, there's like a good 5% of pregnancy cases out there that are just strange.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're unaccounted for, and they don't, you know, how did this happen?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, specifically speaking, it only takes one to kind of redefine the paradigm. And to many researchers, you know, they ignore it. They don't want it. It doesn't fit their narrative. Yeah. And I think that it kind of just, it gets me on a rant, you know. I get on my little soapbox.
Rant, every man. Now and go then. Ahead, soapbox. And it's like, that's, you know, what we're like here for.
It bugs me, man, because, you know, I try to be as close to the grassroots movement as I can, you know, working with experiencers and collecting data and then looking throughout history for different behavioral patterns. You know, and again, I think that if we're all going to say that they're just love and light. Okay, here's what somebody said the other day that really ticked me off.
Please. Okay?
So the majority of my research is centered around the incubi and succubi phenomenon and the role it plays in UFO abduction. And, you know, anybody that has even casually followed my shows and my research, they know that. So I've talked to, you know, women and couples and families, and, you know, I've talked to the husband, and I've watched the wife in the kitchen and the tables freak out because every night there's a being that's literally laying in between her and her husband. So I've been there, right? I've been in the presence of these beings where it feels just like unparalleled, unspeakable horror. So wow. I know this is real. I mean, I've been in one house and talked to a lady where the entity was it was laying in between her and her husband at nighttime. It was playing with her hair.
Yes. I have to ask.
Yeah.
Did you have to lay in bed with them?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't do that, but we did some tests
sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, the husband didn't believe it was happening at all until one night in the middle of the night, something hit him in the face.
Wow.
And then he was rushed to the hospital the next day with Bell's palsy. The doctor diagnosed him with trauma to the head.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've been in the presence of these beings to where
that's,
you know,
literally damage
people.
To the nerve endings. That's crazy.
Right. Right. And then we have researchers that dare to suggest that these women that are suffering so mightily from these beings, that they're just looking at it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like when they abduct a woman and they force her into intercourse and stuff. Well, you're just looking at it wrong. What? There's no other way to look at assault, right? There's no way to kind of romanticize trauma.
Not really.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And again, that's the length that people are willing to go to literally just twist the data, blame the experiencer. And it's just sick. It's sick in the head.
Now, Nathaniel, number one, I know that you're getting ready to do your own show, all that.
Yeah.
I would love a What Grinds My Gears segment from you, like once a month, you know, where it's just like, this is what's been going on in the paranormal community, folks, and this is the conversation. You know what? Because all of a month or so ago, right after you were on last time, you did a live stream on Facebook where you just sat there like cue card status, like just going through questions that you had on cue cards. And man, I loved that. I sat, I was cracking up for the longest time. Because, you know, we chat privately and I follow you and stuff like that. It was one of those like, it's interesting communities that we run in. And there are stone cold believers and there are casual believers and there are non-believers all in the same mucks, you know. But before we let you go, what is probably your biggest pet peeve when it comes to the paranormal community, when it comes to people not understanding the possible bridge between demonology and UFO UAP experiences, and specifically abduction experiences, not just like, you know, hey, I saw something flying behind the mountain the other day, you know, but much more the, yeah, especially like we're saying, so many experiences now being out of body,
right?
Being of a spiritual nature, not like, hey, yeah, this thing landed in the field and this thing snatched me up and I woke up on my patio, you know? Like, that's not the abduction experience anymore, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, but we have heard it from two MUFON field experience researchers that talk directly with experiencers that is not the great majority of cases anymore.
Right. You know what grinds my gears is the lazy research a lot of evangelical people do. Okay, forgive me. I know that's going to be cause some controversy, but what happens is, you know, they seemingly like they go out there and, you know, they write thousands of books, do all of these shows and stuff. And then, so, you know, they're saying that, okay, these are fallen angels, they're demons. And then what happens is in the field of ufology, ufologists, they use the definition given to them by these other researchers. And so they say, well, listen, if that's what a demon is, these beings aren't demons. And so what I think is it has to be done is it's not good enough to just be a theologian. You have to be a historian. You know, yes. You have to go into yes. the linguistic lineage of these words. And, you know, their shoddy research inspires responses from other ufologists who are saying, listen, that doesn't add up at all.
Yeah.
And I think that if anything, what I've been able to do is kind of carve out a niche in the rock where I can say, okay, if we're going to say they're fallen angels, we have to define what they are. And not in the lens of Western scholarship. What were they in the Ugaritic texts? What were they in the ritual bowls?
Right.
And then once we flesh out that theory, then we can start thinking, oh my God, these do fall in line with what people consider to be angels or fallen angels in Mesopotamia.
Yeah. Yeah, or jinn in
correct.
Other Middle Eastern traditions, or the angel, the essences given dominion over by Solomon,
right?
Or to Solomon, rather.
And if we don't have that foundation,
yeah.
everything else is going to lean one way.
Yes.
And I think that's my biggest pet peeve. And I say that because, I have an evangelical background. Like, my dad's a Bible scholar. I'm sorry, Ben.
No, Catholic seminarian right here.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right, right.
But I'll be darned if I haven't gone through and read Kabbalah, if I don't have, you know, my God, it just left my head.
That's okay. The Zohar, or
yeah, well, not just that, but you know, the Seals of Solomon, all
right,
that
yeah.
over my shoulder,
yes.
And that research to lean on, and that realm of, yeah, like even in within the rite of anointing of new priests, they talk about the order of Melchizedek of old.
Right, right. You know, and you're exactly right, because it's not just knowing theology. It's also being a historian,
yeah.
going back into antiquity. And a lot of these researchers, especially in the evangelical world, are scared to touch this.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, oh, my God, you know, you're gonna get caught up. You're going to go to hell or something. And I'm over here thinking, you know, well, if we're going to get a good grasp of this phenomenon, we've got to look in every direction we possibly can. We yeah. can't limit ourselves, right? Because the phenomenon is evolving according to our awareness of it.
Yeah.
And so we have to kind of follow suit and evolve with it.
Yeah, we really, really do. And, you know, with that in mind, that is a perfect actual segue to our second guest, Joshua Shapiro from Crystal Skull Explorers, talking about the new Center for the Advancement of Humanity. And the whole concept of raising our vibration as a humanity, as a species, as a group of people, individually, so that we're ready to harmoniously come together and become part of that literal galactic community. Is there, like you're saying, is quite obviously there. Otherwise, it would not be a trope being used by these demonic critters.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
Nathaniel, I want to thank you so much, as always, for coming on, especially on such short notice. I know I reached out to you like Sunday night, like, hey, by the way, I had a guest drop out. I'd love to have you on again and again and again and again. Because it's I think, such an important conversation as we break open the world of disclosure, as we break open these new realms, we need to remember the vibration, man. We need to remember the fact that out of that vibratory spectrum, we see and hear a slice, like 5 to 8%. That's it. So if we're willing to accept that 5 to 8% of the electromagnetic spectrum that we can only see and hear, then why are we so unwilling to accept the 5 to 8% of things out there that are unexplained?
Good point. Good point.
You know, that's just where I'm at. So before we let you go to commercial break and come back with Joshua Shapiro and the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, it is time for shameless self-promotion, as always, Nathaniel. So let everybody know where they can go to keep up with you on YouTube, where they can go to find the new show, all that kind of good stuff. When is the new show coming out?
We've already done, I think it's like 3 episodes of it. But it's going to be called The Ghost Notes. It's going to be on the Leap Project YouTube channel and all their other platforms every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for those who want to follow me on social media, I also have my own YouTube channel, Nathaniel Gillis. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook under Nathaniel Gillis, too. So, man, it's been a blast as always, Chris. Okay. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, man. I love having you on. I love talking about this topic. It is one of those, like, I have said for years, we are all walking around with a black mirror. Every one of us. Mm-hmm. We sleep with one next to our bed at night. The question is, do you sleep with it black screen down or black screen up? And we can get into that a whole nother time, because that is a conversation in and of itself in the world of manifestation. So thank you once again, my friend, for coming on. Take care, and we'll talk to you very soon.
All right, brother. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. Man, while you are online checking out everything from Nathaniel Gillis, folks, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. Curious Realm. .com is where you can go for all of the episodes. That's where you can go for all of our live feeds coming up from the MUFON Symposium. Stay tuned through these commercial messages, folks, and we will be back with Joshua Shapiro talking about the Center for the Advancement of Humanity right after this. With the rise in attention to the health benefits of cannabis and cannabinoids, including CBD, True Hemp Science has become one of the premier providers of full-spectrum CBD and CBD-related products. Using a proprietary spagyric process, True Hemp Science extracts maximum benefit from the whole hemp plant. Buds, leaves, stems, seeds, even roots. Every part of the plant is used and then reused to formulate a rich, complex profile of CBD, CBD derivatives, and terpenes guaranteed to provide the relief and benefits you need daily. Visit TrueHempScience.com to experience the best CBD oils, edibles, and topicals on the market today. And use code CURIOUS7 to save 7% off your entire purchase of $50 or more, and get 2 25-milligram CBD cookies or brownies free. That website again is TrueHymnScience.com, and the code is CURIOUS7. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies. Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today. And let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training. And use code CURIOUS20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website, again, is PodcastCadet.com. Curious Realm Podcast is your source for the latest and greatest news and events in the world of the paranormal, esoteric, and forbidden knowledge. And there's no better way to spark the conversation than with items from the Curious Realm store. Choose from fan favorites like hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs, and more. Buy books and items from your favorite Curious Realm guests. Get your hands on the latest gear for paranormal investigations and experiments we discuss on the show. Open your web browser and stop on by the Curious Realm store at CuriousRealm.com/store to buy the latest Curious Realm wear and out-of-this-world gifts for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is CuriousRealm.com/store. Well, hello everybody, and welcome back from that commercial break. Thank you so much to our amazing sponsors out there. Want to thank you so much, WebWorks Wireless. We will be using you and using you and using you this upcoming weeks in the MUFON Con. Coming up in Denver, we just had Sev talk on last week, talking about the big MUFON symposium that Curious Realm is a sponsor of. WebWorks Wireless will be out there with us, providing our live stream to our website, as always. Thank you so much as well to our other sponsor, The Secret to Everything, our amazing guest, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. She is your number one source for spiritual change, frequency healing, and consciousness shifting. Stop on by thesecrettoeverything.com. Of course, do all of that while you are on your way to the Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is the website. CuriousRealm.com/live will take you to all of the live feeds that we do. If you download our free Android app, only available on our website, folks. It is not on any platform. We do not want anybody to have to give away their security, things like that. So as secure as possible, it is a direct download to your device. Stop on by, check it out. You can get all of the live feeds directly on your website. And of course, make sure to stop on by the website of our upcoming guest, Joshua Shapiro, for the Center for the Advancement of Humanity. There it is right there on Rumble. They are also out there on Tapitalk. Welcome back to the show, Joshua Shapiro. Tell us a little bit about the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, what it is, and what you guys are all about. What is the mission?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Chris, for having me come back. If your listeners have heard our interviews before, you know, we've talked about many other subjects like crystal skulls and UFOs, etc. The center is the latest project that I've been working on since about March of this year. And it kind of is in an idea stage right now, although there's quite a few of my, I would call them extended spiritual family, who believe in the vision of the center and what it represents. And basically, the Center for the Advancement of Humanity is to help with sharing the most powerful and most important information, mostly from a spiritual perspective, of what is happening in our world, of how to help people to learn more about their true essence, their divine essence, if you will. And there's many different subject matters that we're going to be covering. We're going to have different departments and people and centers all over the planet. This is our vision of it. And so for right now, basically what we're doing is finding extended family in different countries around the world who are helping us to anchor the energy of what this center will be about. And I think the center, too, is also going to be kind of like a mirrored expression, and is going to grow and build as more positive change starts happening, as more of the advanced technologies that we have behind the scenes starts coming out to people, the prophecies of moving toward a golden age. All of these things we're going to be involved with and participating in, and trying to take the, it's basically what's going on right now, although you're not going to hear anything about this from the major media, is a redistribution of wealth, that a lot of money and funds that, you know, we've worked hard to accumulate in our lives has basically been stolen by a very small group of individuals, whether you call them the elite or the globalist or whatever. And these funds are going to start being coming back. There's a new financial system that, according to, you know, what I feel and also what I'm reading on Telegram, is in place, which is called JSARA, which is going to, you know, revolutionize everything. So it's completely fair. They're going to be using new advanced technology so money cannot be stolen. I think it's going to be key to your DNA. So like when we have these new computers that will access this advanced system, it will automatically recognize you and immediately link you in to your own, you know, bank accounts, and there'll never be problems. So a lot of this may sound like fantasy, but I've had some spiritual experiences that show me that this is where we're headed in the future. And so because of that, I'm kind of building the center to prepare. So as these magical openings start happening, and as the truth starts coming out, that our center, you know, the advancement of humanity, that we can support great information for people in every form of media that will exist, whether it's, you know, books or documentaries,
yeah,
or ebooks, whatever is available. And basically, I'm prepared myself to, you know, donate all the information I've been collecting since the early 80s when I started being an Aquarian Age networker and turned into a crystal skull explorer. And kind of the vision is we're here near Atlanta, because I keep seeing that eventually we'll have our own building and start to hire people. In other words, this is not going to be done volunteer. This is going to be a regular type of business, course, we'll have some free products, you know, like I have 6 free ebooks, which, of course, your listeners are all welcome to. And we can talk about that towards the end.
Absolutely.
So we'll have free things. We'll have advanced things. I hope we'll have a department for holistic health and healing, which would involve the so-called new technology with med beds. So we're really one of the new centers. I feel there will be many of these centers, but we will be one of the new centers coming out to totally support people in their growth and spirituality and having the best information available to them. Let's put it distinctly this way. I think that since we've all grown up in life, that the people who've been in charge of educating us about the history of our world and even the origins of our world, that we have not been told the truth. And so if that is the case, then as the truth starts coming out, because there are people who know exactly what's going on in our world, like, are we really having contact with galactic beings, which I believe we are. And we also have on our Rumble video channel, I interviewed 2 spiritual mediums. One had an Arcturian speak through her.
And let's get into that real quick, because that is the conversation with the Galactic Federation Council, segment A and B. Let's get into some of that message, because Joshua, you have, of course, been on before talking about the spiritual messages channeled by crystal skulls, channeled by yourself through them.
Yes.
The last time you were on was actively the first time that spirit ever moved you to speak on air on my show,
right.
which has happened to you before, but it's not a frequent thing. And I was very impressed by that. But the idea of this, and when you came to me, I guess it was a couple months ago, saying that you were starting this up with other people, I was like, this is fantastic, because much like the Paranormal Outreach Network that we just or Opus that we just talked to recently, it's that sympathy. It's that being able to know that you are in a place where you can share your encounter, where you can share the spiritual message that you have been given. Because that can be such a burden sometimes, to have had a revelation and have nobody that you can share it with. So the fact that you have gone through with other people to start up the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, I think is a beautiful and amazing thing, Joshua, and something that, like you said, Spirit has shown you that there will be numerous centers popping up.
Yes, and the key is, like, when what I'm trying to do right now when I work with centers, we have 2 that have said that they are interested to become sister centers. So, like, we would have a main center, which is the one that I would build first. And then these already are existing spiritual centers that are doing their own thing. But to show the philosophy of the future is, when I go to them, I say, we're not here to change anything that you're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
We're just here to say, look, we're going to be developing different products and services, information and so on. So you can pick which ones you might want that would work for the people that are visiting your center. And the only thing that we ask is, you know, just to let people know that we exist, that you are a proud member. And in exchange, I believe that what's going to happen for us, and it's very difficult to prove because most people don't understand the new financial system, which I mentioned before, is that when that starts happening, projects for humanity and projects that are of a spiritual nature, I think are going to receive a great amount of this great wealth that's coming, so that we can help to educate people about many different subjects that could help them to have a very happy and amazing life. Because I believe that, you know, from a spiritual perspective, if you are only living, like, let's say, a physical part, you have this spiritual part of yourself, which is very powerful, which connects all of us to the family of humanity and to Creator. And it's important to embrace both the physical and the spiritual in order to have a very powerful, happy, balanced life on Earth. And yeah. so this would be, you know, our objective. So when we're working with these other existing centers, we, you know, say we'll just be looking at how we can have ways to help each other. And primarily what I want to do with the sister centers is, like, if they have special projects or whatever, mm-hmm. because I believe that great wealth is coming, we support them in that. And in exchange for that help and support for them to create their dream and what they want to do, they just let people know about, you know, that these network of centers exist. And the other thing is that people have been very delighted about the creation of the center is when I visualize when we get to the point where I can start actually hiring people and we can start setting up all our departments. Yeah. And even for myself, just to have helpers, because generally, you know, I'm a typical Aries. I do everything. And I haven't had, you know, the funds to be able to afford assistance or whatever. I yeah. create the books myself. So sometimes I get help with, you know, illustrations, et cetera. But mostly I'm doing it, so I'm kind of a jack of all trades. But what's going to be the key for working with us is I'm going to have one main question I'm going to ask people, or I'm going to have the department that'll be involved in hiring. And if the person doesn't know the answer to this question, then they may not be the right person for us to bring into the team. But yeah. you need to know what makes your heart sing. What do you love to do more than anything else? And so the idea is, if I'm hiring people from that perspective,
yeah.
then when a person comes in to visit our center, you know, the physical center, they're going to see all these people very happy and joyful, and they're going to feel a very powerful, uplifting energy, and they probably won't want to leave the center, you know, because they're going to feel like, you know, that we're very welcoming, we're there to help them, and this is the way that our world needs to be into the future. So I'm hoping that the centers all working together all over the world will be an example of, you know, the future of humanity, that we're all working together.
Yes.
Because the key is, if we each do what we love to do, every job, every task that needs to be accomplished would be covered all over the whole planet.
Yeah.
And a matter of fact, I also feel too that from the visions I've had of our future 15 to, say, 17, 18 years going forward, eventually we will no longer need money. Everything will be done through barter and exchange, will be free, et cetera. But you can't move from being where we are now, where we're accustomed to using money to pay for products and yeah. services, to all of a sudden not have that. So this period of time, I feel, is another thing the center is going to do, is to help people to adjust to moving from a world where we have black and white and conflict and so on, to a world where people are dancing and singing in the street, and the children of the future have no clue whatsoever and may not even believe us that we went through all these challenges and controversies. You know, they'll go, Dad, Mom, Grandpa, yeah. Grandma, how could you say that? Look at our world today. It's so beautiful and harmonious. And so I feel like our center is tasked with being one of many to help people so we can move to take us into that beautiful future and that golden age. And for Absolutely. Myself, that's all I can see. And so it's like, even though, you know, I see, well, we got the war in Ukraine going on, and now we have the people protesting yeah. about what the Supreme Court did with the Roe verdict and so on, yeah. and you know, these Antifa and the Democrats, and how they're, well, my opinion is they're literally destroying the country. I think a lot of people are starting to see that now, but that's my opinion. Sure. You know, these type of situations are in the process of going away. Yeah. And it's almost inconceivable for most people is, how can we have such a world? You know, there seems to be so many challenges. It's going to take us a really long time. I don't feel that. I think yeah. that the truth, whether it's coming from the light or the dark, it's getting ready to come out. And that there are people who've been working for many years, since probably JFK, I would say, and maybe even longer than this.
Oh, sure.
To bring our world to peace. And it's not just people. Galactic beings, too, are supporting us in this, but they have to respect our free will.
Yeah, yeah.
So
exactly. Exactly. And that's just it. I mean, even in our pre-show conversation and even in the conversation with the guest just before this, you know, like I was saying, America by definition is choice.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting that you yourself have chosen platforms like Rumble and the alternative platforms to take this message to because, yeah, some of it frequently, especially now with the recent UAP hearing that just happened and the whole dialogue now of threaten the skies. What do we do about people putting out misinformation? What do we do about people putting out their own theories, things like that? Right. And they basically said, I don't know, you guys need to write a law about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, how long is it before truths like what the Center for the Advancement of Humanity is trying to get out there are pushed down? And with that in mind, let's get into that recent conversation with the Galactic Federation Council, because I think that's an important one to get into when you're talking about, especially the mission of the center and what it is that you're doing and the future that you are trying to build and bring mankind to. That point of enlightenment. So what was it that the conversation with the Galactic Federation Council?
Okay, so first let me define what this council was, as I understood from one of our spiritual members, Reverend Doe Johnson. Reverend Joe Johnson and I have been talking since 2017, and she is a trained spiritual medium. And one of the contexts that came up before I did this interview with her back in 2017, actually, was I started speaking to the Arcturian Council of 13. And what was very surprising for me is when I was talking to that council through Reverend Doe, they were talking about crystal skulls, like they knew about crystal skulls, that this was something that was also an important part of who they were. Now, my understanding through Reverend Doe and what I've researched is that the Arcturians are of a much higher vibrational frequency than we are. They do have, in their vibration, they do have their own physical bodies or physical forms, so they can have contact with each other. But they are much more evolved spiritually, and they have a great love and respect for humanity. And I think according to, I think her, the name of the Arcturian that I spoke to there was Rirta. And Rirta claims that she was around back in the time when Atlantis was formed, and she was working with the Council of Atlantis. And during that particular period of time of Earth, the vibration was high enough that the Arcturians could actually have direct contact with human beings,
wow,
which they cannot do now. Their vibration is too high.
It's interesting that you say that, because in our last interview with Seb Talk, who works with MUFON as part of the experiencer response team, as well as Kathleen Martin, who works in the same aspect with MUFON as well as other aspects, and has spent the better part of her life now in the search of UAP technology, UFO history, stories, witness accounts, things like that. More than once has it been mentioned about vibrational state.
Yes.
And about how more and more of these accounts of direct contact with alien life have been in a spiritual way, and in a way almost like out-of-body experience, vibrational,
yeah,
crossing the fields way than
exactly
than a saucer landing in the yard and some guys walking out going, hey, how you doing? You know? So it's interesting that you bring that up, even with the conversation being channeled from the Galactic Federation Council. So I didn't want to interrupt you, but I thought that was key to understanding, especially with frequencies and the fact that we have to tune ourselves.
Right. Well, Nikola Tesla also talked about when he was alive that everything is vibration and frequency. Mm. And the key to understanding the Arcturians or advanced civilizations like themselves is that the vibrational level which they're in, there doesn't exist any kind of thought whatsoever of violence or crime or negativity. Okay. Yeah. They are very connected with Creator, with the divine frequencies of love, and they've had contact with humanity, and I think there's a possibility in our DNA that there may be part of the Arcturians inside of it. I think from my studies with many different contactees and around UFOs, it seems like humanity in our DNA, we have a lot of different galactic races who have a piece of it there, and that kind of makes us very unique and interesting. But anyway, what the Arcturians were talking about is that, you know, they're bringing a message of peace to humanity. I did ask Huerta about, do they see this positive future, which I talked about, and they absolutely see that. And I think that as we become more of a peaceful world, we will have more direct contact with them, which is a wonderful thing because they have great spiritual knowledge and insight that they could help to teach us to become a much more attuned to Creator and living a more harmonious life like they have, etc. And so that was basically, you know, the message that they're here, they're sending us very loving frequencies of energy. They're probably another way that they can help, which I know this has been going on for me since I started the center. What's happened to me, and again, there's no way I can prove this because it's my individual experience, but when I talk about the center, it almost feels like there is an Arcturian who's very interested in helping us in the development of this. So it's very, very interesting that Reverend Dove had an Arcturian speak to us the first time. And that, you know, every time I talk about the center, I feel this Arcturian off the right side of my body. And I can feel the Arcturian there now. And it's like, I feel like the Arcturians and the Pleiadians are the ones who are whispering to me in March, Joshua, you need to start going with the center. And I'm going, but every time I try to start a new project, because I'm Aries and I always have all these ideas and everything, I never can get anything going because I never get all the total resources that I need, which is not just financial, but I can't put it together and then nothing happens because, you know, everybody's struggling right now with the crazy things happening. And they said, no, this is very important. Trust us. And so on my mailing list, I think I have more than 30 people all over the world. Now, these are building people. And this also includes you, by the way, Chris. I want to acknowledge your help and interest support. You're one of those 30-plus people. Who, when they listen to me talk about, you know, this idea, they go, this sounds great. I want to be involved. I don't know how I'm going to help, but I just know I need to be involved. So it almost makes me feel like before we were all born into the earth, before we came into body, a group of us got together and said, hey, in 2022, we're going to start building this center. Now, here's a really cool thing. And then I want to come back to define the Galactic Federation Council, because I haven't really defined it yet, or at least as Reverend Dove told me, is one of my guides, and this is in my free ebook, which I offer to all of your viewers and listeners. It's called Messages from Argus. Argus is the name I'm going to take in our future in this lifetime. But Argus is talking to me like a spirit guide right now. So I just asked Argus, you know, just kind of being funny, I said, you know, this center I'm working on, does it exist where you are in 2037, 2040? He says, oh, yeah, absolutely. It's all over the place. So, you know, I take that as a good sign that, you know, what we're working on, even though it's in the very beginning phase, it's important. Okay, coming back to Reverend Dove, this is how she defined the Galactic Council. It's like there's 13 galactic races, and each race has their own council of 13. So Rirta was one of the members of the Council of the Arcturians, okay? But, you know, the Pleiadians are there, and they have their own council of 13, et cetera. So the idea that Reverend Dove talked to me about, which she received from her contacts, is that we would do a series of interviews, and that we could have, for each interview, a different galactic race, a member of their council, stepping forward to give their perspective about you know, what is their world like? Well, how do they perceive how the universe works? And then also give their opinion, as Rirta did, about what's happening on the Earth. So they're very well, they acknowledge that they're very well aware of the challenges that are going on now. But they believe and they see, because, you know, they can see things that we cannot see since they're in a higher vibrational frequency, that we are definitely headed to a very positive future. So that was a very good message from them, confirming, you know, what I've received from myself through my own personal experiences. One being that this future part of me is showing me what life is like there, but he can't tell me, how do I go from where I am now to where he is? Because obviously, if I knew that, it would interfere in my becoming Argus in the future. So, and Argus actually did write through me one time when I was in Brazil. He was writing about what the future was like, and that message that he wrote, that's what's is part of this free ebook called Messages from Argus. And Argus also has found his way. I have two fictional stories too that I've also written, which are available on the Crystal Skull website that I think you showed a little while ago, where Argus shows up in those stories as well. So yeah. It's like, you know, everything that I see and everything that's happening around me and the information that I'm able to gather through the various sources of people I know, it's all pointing to a positive future, and that this is a key year, 2022. And, you know, we could talk about, if you want, at some point, what are some signs that this is actually happening? Because there are some signs that are showing up now.
I was just about to say, let's get into not only some signs that this is happening and what this change is, but how it brings us to, like you were saying, that new monetary system that we end up living with later on.
Okay, so here is what is being talked about on Telegram about the war in the Ukraine. But before I say that, let's talk about what the major media is saying, because please. I think people are waking up now and starting to say, whatever the major media says, it's usually the opposite. So the major media puts Putin, the president of Russia, who initiated these actions, I guess, at the end of February, early March, as comparable to how we understand Hitler, an insane dictator who's wanting to conquer the Ukraine and make it a part of Russia again, and he's going to go after other countries too after this.
Yeah, restoring the motherland.
Right, but here's the thing that doesn't make any sense. See, this is what people have to look at. Okay, it's the same thing like if you went into the pandemic. There are things about it that make no sense whatsoever if you're really looking at it honestly and not basing your opinion about what the politicians and the famous people say and the media says and even the medical profession. So remember when the United States invaded, it was Iraq. I think George Bush Sr. was our president. I remember this.
Yep.
In a matter of days, it was over because you had the superior might of the United States versus a little tiny country that had, you know, couldn't stand up to the weapons and the strategies and everything, and it was over. Well, we have the same situation in the Ukraine. Russia, compared to the Ukraine, even if the Ukraine gets this help from the United States and from the EU and NATO, supposedly the United States, EU, and NATO are not sending our troops there. Maybe we're sending them weapons, but even if we're sending them weapons and money, they cannot stand up to the might of Russia. This war should have been over in March a long time ago. Okay? But it keeps going on and on and on. So what I'm saying is there's something else that's happening here, which is very important, but people aren't hearing it through the major media. All they're hearing about is how terrible the Russians are. But if you go on Telegram, what they're saying on Telegram is, number one, the Russians went to the Council of the United Nations and presented absolute evidence after they took out these, you know, laboratories there to create more viruses and infections and deadly things for humanity. And they showed that the United States was paying for all this and backing it up. So maybe this is part of the reason why Biden's been so friendly, you know, with the president of the Ukraine and so on, and has his son doing all this stuff in the Ukraine, that they have all these unethical activities going on, which they're making a lot of money from it. Next thing that Putin talks about, and they have total evidence for these labs, and it, I think it started as 8, and now it's like over 40, and I think I saw somewhere, I don't know if it was just on Telegram or on a website of like the CIA or FBI or one of those organizations, where they were acknowledging the United States was involved in those laboratories. So what I believe is really happening in the Ukraine is that when the Second World War ended, and this is also what Putin talks about, which you never hear about, but you hear about it on Telegram because they're publishing what he's saying translated from Russian into English, is that when the Second World War ended, the Nazis and the elite and the globalists and the cabal and all those kinds of people, they moved into the Ukraine and they set up all kinds of things. And that this war that's going on really is the war of the light versus the dark. And there actually was on Telegram somebody coming from the globalist who say, if we lose to Ukraine, it's all over. Meaning that if you believe this, and this is what I feel very strongly about and what I see going on, that these very wealthy people, you know, they pretty much have are in charge of every major company and major category, all the major things in our life that they've been basically in charge and controlling. And, you know, that what's happening in the Ukraine is Russia is taking them on right now and saying, we're not going to give our power away to you anymore. Like Russia, they were talking about Russia even before they went into the Ukraine, that they did not want to accept a central bank in Russia. Like in many parts of the world, we have these central banks, which are supposedly controlled by the elite. They didn't accept it. But now here's another aspect, which you asked me about, the new financial system and Jisara, which Russia is starting to do now. Their rubles are now backed by precious metals, by gold. And this is a significant part of the new system coming. Because one of the things they talk about on Telegram is the new rainbow currencies that are coming for all the countries in the world. Like I've actually seen on Telegram what the new, they're going to call it either USN or USTN, United States Treasury Note, I think it's going to be called. I've actually seen the physical bills, you know, like what we would call dollars, but it's not going to be dollars anymore. The physical bills, what they look like, they've been showing them on Telegram. And there's rumors being talked about that people that work at banks are being trained on the new system that they have actually in their banks, but they're not talking about this to customers yet, that they actually have these new bills or, you know, new currency, let's call it new currency. And again, that the United States Treasury notes are going to be backed by gold. This will be an important part of it because all the currencies in the world, for the most part, except for now Russia and China's doing it, I think India, and there's a couple other countries now that are backing their currencies with gold, are backed by nothing. So so another aspect of the new financial system that's discussed, which of course many of us are familiar with now, but we're not sure what to do with it, is the cryptocurrencies, the digital currencies. Also, those have nothing that backs them. So like, you know, when Bitcoin used to be worth, I think it went up to $69,000 per one coin. And now I think it's down to around 20,000. It's dramatically dropped in the last couple of months.
There is a major, major dip going on in crypto right now. However, I will say this, and this is just as somebody who mines Ethereum, through mining, I am actively increasing the length of the blockchain that I'm helping mine, which is thereby increasing security. So there is at least, it's not like an arbitrary value. There is at least a value there.
Right.
And that blockchain is part of, like, you know, bank transactions, things like that. But I hold in my hand right now something that not a lot of people actively still hold. And that is an actual $5 gold note.
Right.
This is what our money used to be, folks, right here, where it was like, hop on in and bam,
right.
give me $5 worth of gold.
Right.
It used to be backed by it. And even the language of this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, no longer on your money. mm-hmm. All kinds of things. But this is, let's see, 1963.
Right. So when Nixon became president, I heard that they started taking the gold. You couldn't own gold.
Yep.
And only recently could you start to own gold, which is what I personally did when we got all this free money.
Yeah.
I bought gold and silver.
Yeah.
Because this, I believe, is the future, that everything has to be backed on precious metals, on something that has a value, that's something that you can hold and touch and has a perceived value to the society. So this is part of what the new financial system will be about. So the new currency is coming out. There will be a computer system, which they call QFS, Quantum Financial System, which, according to what they're saying on Telegram, that this system is in charge right now, the SWIFT system, which is the old system that I didn't even know existed until I went to Europe and I had to convert my euros to dollars. I had to use the SWIFT system to do that. It's already been taken out. Now, again, a lot of the information that I'm sharing, I don't have, like, you know, some secret source or whatever. I'm trusting that Spirit is going to guide me to the right video, to the right channels on Telegram, to receive the information that's going on. Because there was a moment in 2020, right after they start announcing that COVID started coming into the U.S., where I'm sitting right now talking to you, very close to where I'm sitting right here. I remember there's one day I said, I really want to know the truth. And all of a sudden, all these videos and links to information and everything start coming.
Yeah.
And so I make it my duty that every day I go on Telegram and I look at the channels to stay abreast, because like you said, many of the social media and the major media, what they're telling us, they're covering up what's really going on behind the scenes. And there are only a few places, independent places, and Telegram was specifically designed not to allow it to be censored. Although there are some channels they say are fake. I don't know how they're deciding this or not. So there's probably, you know, some people on there who are spreading information like the media and so on, because it's a free source. I'm very hopeful that what's going on with Twitter right now, and this gentleman who's getting ready to buy it, that this is going to be the beginning of major change as well. And I'm also signed up for Trump's new social media, Truth Social is what it's called. And, you know, so I just stay in touch with these things. But the major sign for the new system coming is that the Russian ruble is being backed by gold. And also there's another group of countries that I think are working with some digital currencies with this. It's called BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, which represents Brazil, Russia, China, India, and I forget what the letter S is for, which country that is. But there are five countries that came together that said, we are not going to support, you know, the normal currencies, like the dollar is the main currency, and I think it's starting to lose that status, that they're going
South
to have
South Africa.
South Africa, right. Okay. So it's starting to lose that status, and new systems are coming. So in the future financial system, there will be both a physical form of the currency and there will be a digital form of the currency. The two currencies which seem to be very important for the future that will work with this system from the point of view of the of crypto is XRP, which is called Ripple, which will be backed by gold. And the other one is XLM, which is Stellar, and that will be backed by silver. And those are the only two currencies which I have. I do not have those currencies online. I have them in what's called cold storage or an offline program that's guarding them. And what I've done is when I've had extra money, I have bought whatever I can, and I found two places where I could do that because Ripple was taken out in the U.S. The SEC had this big case, which I don't know if they finalized it or not. So you couldn't really buy it in the U.S. Like I had Coinbase, and Coinbase stopped selling it. So I found a place, Unbound, I think it's called, in the UK. Oh. And the nice thing about it is they don't take that much away from you when you buy it. And when I buy it, in 5 seconds, it's in my wallet in here. I'm in the US.
Wow.
In other words, after I buy it, which doesn't take that long, I immediately can transfer it. Whereas with XLM, which I still use Coinbase, I have to wait 7 days before I can transfer it. And because I wasn't sure if the internet was going to come down, you know, I didn't like the idea that when I had the extra funds. So what I do is I do these online surveys with Amazon. It's called MTurk. And I usually make anywhere from $40 to $60 a week. So in other words, it's guaranteed income. It's not that much. But these coins right now are both under a dollar in value. If they went up to $10 in value, one of them I have 2,300 coins now, the other 1,000. Well, that may be all the money that I need. And they're saying, too, that the price of things will greatly go down to the prices of the 1950s, like 1955, I keep hearing, which is interesting because that's the year I was born. So, you know, a house right now, they want $400,000,
$500,000. Oh, yeah. Things have gotten to a point where there is no option for the bubble other than to pop.
Right.
You have pushed things to the max with the squirrely math that you use to figure out inflation.
Right.
And we are no longer based on anything physical. And that, you know, I am a proponent of, and it shocks a lot of people, but it's through my experience with mining, that I have become a proponent of crypto.
Yeah.
And with the concept and with the idea that we could all, Joshua, on our phone, have access to our wallet, same way that we do our bank account.
Exactly.
Except it would be a government wallet.
Right.
Fine. They've already got access to your stuff, folks. Sorry, but like long before they had told you that the banks had access, they had access. Like a decade ago, they had access to everything. And in addition to that, you could also put like your rank voting on here.
Yes,
exactly. You could, there would no longer be, hey, I need to take the day off so I can go stand in line and vote. Like that would totally actively change the way that the working man's vote is represented in America.
Right. So it means that in the future, everything to do with finances will be done in that way in a secure environment.
Yep.
The transaction will happen almost immediate. Like, you know, every time I get a big chill when 5 seconds, all of a sudden I have the Ripple that I purchased that came from a place in the UK. 5 seconds. It blows my mind. That it will be even faster than that. It'll be instantaneous. And the key is that the financial system has to be secure. The one we have now, I've heard horror stories. Some people, I think they call themselves white knights, were claiming how the globalists and the elite, because they had total control of the current financial system, somebody would do a transaction for millions of dollars and all of a sudden it would just disappear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just like, and there was no way you could track it or trace it. This will be impossible, which also means, too, we'll have a more advanced internet, which will also be secure, new computers, new phones, new everything. And this is what I'm very excited about. And I believe all these technologies already exist, that the elite and the globalists have had it for more than 50 years, and it will just start trickling out, and people, just as we've adapted to the internet and streaming and the mobile phones, we will eventually adapt after probably a few years to all these new technologies.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and we'll have free energy, which, you know, it would be one of the subjects we would talk about in the center of Tartaria, a civilization that existed before,
yep,
who had this. And, I mean, it's going to be an amazing world. So this is the key thing I say to everyone listening, which I say on all my interviews. Even if we do not know, today is June 26, 2022, how we're going to go from now to 2037 to 2040 to be in paradise, all we have to do is like 5 or 10 minutes a day, just go in meditation and visualize what would the world be like, what that you would like to see, where we have all this peace and harmony. Just see that like every day. And what will happen is one morning you will wake up and you look around and that's the world that you're going to see.
Yeah.
So I'm absolutely positive because of the communication with my future self. And the other experience was I was in a coma and I remember going to a dimensional meeting where they were talking about how they were going to help the people of the earth to see this period of time. These were galactic brothers and sisters. And I was at this meeting and I saw what their plans were. They blanked my mind, but they told me, and this is part of the reason I think what I'm telling you, all this stuff is true, because I saw it at this meeting, is that when things start happening in my real time, my present time, I'm going to know what's true and what's not true. So I know for a fact that the number of people that were affected by the pandemic, we were taught, is lies. I know for a fact that what's going on in the Ukraine, what they're telling us is happening there, is lies. They're taking out the elite and the cabal there. It's a major spot for them. And I will also tell you, too, that I have seen pictures on Telegram of the capital city in Kazakhstan, and there's another one, Turkestan or something like that. These are definitely cities built by the Tartarians, which they did not destroy, and you've never seen them on the news ever. And this may be part of the reason why the people rebelled in Kazakhstan and they took out their government, is because, you know, they were tired of the tyranny that was going on. And also, too, there are these two, I don't know if you call them states or geographic sections in the Ukraine, which were rebelling, which the Russians initially acknowledged right away when they came in. So to me, these are like all different signs that we are moving toward this period of time. So I don't know where we are in our time for the presentation, but I would like to make sure that the people listening have a way to contact me.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so for the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, I just use my Crystal Skull email because we haven't set up our own website yet. I do have an email for the center, but it's very complicated. So if you would like to learn more, if you'd like to learn about our Rumble channel or learn about what we're doing on Telegram, or there is a webpage I have too that kind of shares it, or maybe you want to help us and participate, or there's many countries that we do not have a family member in that's holding the energy for, feel free to get a hold of me at crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. And that's crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. Of course, I'm Joshua, so feel free to write. If you're interested in getting any of the 6 free ebooks that I've been offering to all the people listening to these presentations, again, send me an email. I have a free ebook on crystal skulls, Tartaria, Flat Earth, the messages from Argus, which is I've been talking about, so you could get more details about how I contacted Argus in the future, what his message was he sent me, and more about that meeting I attended. I also have from May of 2021 a book that's kind of doing a high-level overview talking about these situations, which I think a lot of what I talked about back then is still valid now. And then I have one more about, are we in a computer simulation? So any of those free ebooks, all in PDF form, if you email me and get it to me, I'd be happy to send it out to you. And if you're curious about crystal skulls, we've got carvers in China and India helping us make skulls, and we have some here. We can help you get your own crystal skull as well. So so this is and of course Chris has one of the skulls made by our Indian carver, which he keeps telling me how much he's been enjoying.
I love my skull. It sits right here all the time. It's with me every episode.
Right. So hopefully it's inspiring him with more episodes.
Absolutely.
And I'm so honored to have Chris as one of three online kind of like shows that are supporting the center. So, and Chris has helped us. As you see, there's a new design for our logo there, which Chris did. And he's going to be helping us with for our videos, you know, the beginning. So the whole key to what's really going on right now, if I could summarize it at the end, is that we're starting to find extended family and work together and do what makes us happy and make a difference in the planet. And there's one last message, if we have time, that I'd like
Absolutely.
To give. Okay. So on Telegram one time, I see this document. It's like a secret document by the globalists. And if you want to participate in all their dark projects and get all this money and everything, you have to sign this document. So there are two keys.
Where's this document? I want it.
I think I have a link to it.
I want their horrible, horrible dark money.
Okay. Well, anyway,
I'm just playing.
Yeah, I know. You're a kidder. I'm used to you. So, and besides the fact, we need to be, you know, joking and having fun. We can't just be serious.
But there, I have seen a couple of these, like what you're talking about, where quite literally people are invited to come be part of the cabal that is going on.
Sign your life away to the devil. Literally. Yeah. So this particular document I saw is explaining their strategy of how they're deciding what they're going to do. So most of it talks about and uses the word poison. So all we have to do is look at what's happening with COVID and the pandemic, which is, you know, I think most people know they created this virus, number one. Whether it was done in a laboratory in Wuhan or not, I don't know. Could have been done in the Ukraine.
Definitely tinkered with.
Yeah. So they brought it up because they needed an excuse so they could take away all our jobs and, you know, get us locked down and everything like that.
Even if the poison to which they are referring, Joshua, is the poison and vitriol that we have toward each other that has been sown over the last 2 years.
Right. But the key that they kept stressing is that when they came out with this poison, then they would give us a solution, which would be more poison. So the solution is the vaccines, which, again, go on Telegram, and you'll see many videos from people who were greatly affected that took these vaccines. I knew, and my wife, Katrina, we both knew we have nothing to do with this. This is absolutely one of the most horrific things that we've ever seen in our lives. Stay away from it. And so we've never had any problem with it, never been afraid to walk outside with a mask, without a mask, doesn't matter. We know that we're protected. But here's the other part, the second part, which blew me away. They talked about Prime Creator. Now, why would people who believe in, you know, all these dark energies and the devil and Satan and so forth talk about Prime Creator? It means they know that there is a Prime Creator. Okay. So this is what they say, and this is what I know is the situation now, which is part of the reason why everything is shifting also. They say this is the most secret of secrets. Prime Creator allows us to do what we're doing, to create the world the way that we want to, where we don't have to care about other people, if the majority of people on the planet agree with what we tell them to do. And Prime Creator will not intervene. But if the majority of people on the planet say no, say we will not do this, we do not accept this, then I will come in and you will lose everything. This is what is happening right now. The majority of people, all you have to do is look at the protests, at the mandates and the lockdowns that have been going on in major cities all over the world. And the contact I have with the Galactics, the telepathic contact with the Galactics, who are overseeing the center and have been helping me with all of my spiritual work, they said more than 50% of the people on the planet are saying no. So this is very, very important. If anyone is listening to this and you agree that all this madness that's going on are this elite and cabal, you know, trying to convince you, you have to do things. If it doesn't feel right, if it's immoral to you, say no. If enough of us say no, they lose everything.
Yeah.
So this is the key. And I think this has already happened. We're past this point now. And this is why everything's starting to fall apart. They're saying the stock market's going to fall soon, that this change with Roe and Wade is a part of this, that the crazy stuff that Biden's doing here in the United States is a part of this. They have to wake people up.
People will, because of Roe v. Wade, things like that, they will start to vote with their money, guaranteed. Right. And they will start, you will start seeing things fall because of the revocation of money.
Right. And the money has to change. And they're saying that when Jassar comes, everything will be on an equal basis, like the currencies of all the countries will be of an equal value. So no one will have an advantage. Okay. Yeah. So that it makes it that we get to a point where a person who, like today, who's very wealthy and can buy whatever they want, that condition will not exist in the new system, because everyone will have enough wealth to have a peaceful and harmonious life, to be able to live the way that they want to have the freedom. We'll have contact with our galactic brothers and sisters. Some of us will go visit them. They'll come down here. We'll work with them. So this is where we're headed. So basically what we're seeing now is the light and dark are both coming out. The truth about the light and dark are both coming out. But the light has already won. It's like a chess game between two advanced players. There are only two outcomes. Either they tie or one wins and one loses. Well, the light already has won in this chess game. And the dark can't do anything to stop it. It is divine will. It has to do with that agreement I told you, where past that point of no return. So, you know, we have to go through this process we're going through right now in a gradual way. But the Arcturians and the Pleiadians I've talked to said that there's a possibility of a major event happening this year that's really going to shift everything in the positive direction. Arcturians said it could be the Pleiadians showing up in the sky with their craft all over the place and beaming down this very loving, peaceful energy. So the people who watch them are not going to come from fear and panic. They're just going to feel, I don't know who those guys are up there, but it feels really good about them. They seem to be here in a peaceful way to work with us. So,
yes.
You know, so I just say whatever we can imagine now, it's coming in our future and beyond what we can imagine. It's going to be so fantastic that none of us can even believe what's about to come true. And I know that we're in this process. And I feel like every time I speak, I have to share that message that we are in that process.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So Chris, I want to thank you again for having me on your show.
Hopefully, anytime.
Hopefully the people listening have a better idea now what the center is all about.
And, absolutely.
And we're here to answer any questions or if you wish to participate. You know, for me, the center as an Aries, I always need a new challenge and a new adventure. This is my new adventure.
Well, one last time, Joshua. Hey, number one, thank you for always coming on and sharing your wealth of knowledge and revelations that have come to you through spirit as well as other channels. But let everybody know where they can go to get involved with the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, where they can go to volunteer, where they can go to follow, subscribe, everything else. One last chance for shameless self-promotion.
Okay. Well, the key is to send me an email, basically, and then I can send you the links. Or also, I'm assuming, Chris, that you will have some description about the show with the links, too, that they can kind of look
always.
This up.
Always.
So if you want to go directly, you know, to our Rumble video channel, or if you want to go directly to, you know, what we're doing on Telegram, or if you want to go to the temporary webpage I set up that explains everything, which then will have the direct email to the center, look there, or you can contact me at any time at my personal email, crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. And that will also be good for the 6 free ebooks I talked to you about, or anything to do with, you know, crystal skulls or UFOs or whatever. I'm, you know, don't think I'm so busy that you can't contact me. I love meeting new people, but right now I'm in the mood of co-creation. What can we all create together that's amazing?
Yeah. So what can we do to make a ripple a wave?
Right. So that's what I see is going to happen with Chris's show. I'm going to say, Chris, we've got all these great people associated with our center. Can we bring them on your program so people can start hearing about it?
The answer is yes.
Yes. So they're right there. We just set up a co-creation for the future. So this is the kind of thing that I'm doing. I just connected with this group, the X-Gates. They're based in Italy.
Yeah.
So now Italy is a new country that is anchoring the energy for the center. And I got a really good relationship with Diego, who's the head of it. And I am now one of their authors. And very soon, my first article on the crystal skulls will be appearing there. So I'm just learning their system and trying to get my pictures in the right place and everything.
That's great.
So I expect to be, you know, doing articles there. So this is the idea of co-creation, where we work together, where we delight. It makes us ecstatic. What can we do next? What incredible things can we come up with next that's going to help a lot of people?
Yeah.
So I think as more and more people see this positive future, this is what's going to bring it faster and faster to our world.
Absolutely. It is quite literally a Tom and Jerry cartoon and a snowball. It starts with something small at the top.
Exactly.
And it takes effort.
Right. So my excitement is not made up.
Same.
Dear extended family listening here, this is coming. It already exists behind the scenes. I feel it every day, and it's getting stronger and stronger. And also the vibration of the earth is getting higher and higher, too. And that's helping this process to happen, because the darkness cannot exist when the light is so strong. And that's where we're going towards.
Absolutely. Well, Joshua, thank you so much once again for coming on and sharing everything about the Center for the Advancement of Humanity. Make sure to stop on by, check them out at all the links supplied by Joshua there. We'll, of course, have links up in the episode post for this. Joshua, take care of yourself. Please do hold the line while we close things out. While you are online checking out everything from Joshua and the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is the website, folks. There's where you can find all the episodes. That's where you can follow us on social media over here. That's where you can subscribe, like. That's where you can donate, believe it or not. You can go and become a sponsor as well. Stop on by. CuriousRealm.com is the website. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault on our website, CuriousRealm.com. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast services, as well as YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV through the APR TV app, available on all app markets. Curious Realm is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content or to become a sponsor of Curious Realm or other podcasts, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.